Lord, at times you are weary and heavy laden, and you have promised us rest. Lord, help us to find that rest in you. Amen. We conclude our summer series of sermons on rest with the title, Rest at the End. And the writer of the Hebrews has included a number of Old Testament references to stress to his Jewish readers and to us who hear his message that the message is urgent. The writer stresses today. And the message is important. If we don't pay attention, we'll miss out on something very valuable. There are several references to the Old Testament. And if you don't mind, I'll address the text chronologically, which divides the sermon into four parts. I'll start the first part at verse 4, the seventh day, the Sabbath day. Let's go back to near the very beginning, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. By the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested at the end of creation. But did God rest because he was exhausted? No. We know that God does not become tired, as we do. God rested so he could delight in his creation, for his creation was perfect. He was pleased with it. God took time for reflection. And God rested so he could set an example to us, for he knew we would need rest. But of course, God resting doesn't mean to say he's not intimately involved in the continuation of his creation, as he sustains his universe second by second. God didn't just wind up the universe like a clock and watch over it while it goes on ticking. And his desire for us to know this day of rest was so important to God, he included respect for the Sabbath as the fourth commandment given to Moses. Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And of course, that is why we're gathered here today, to remember the Sabbath. But as I came across our brothers and sisters from the Seventh-day Adventist Church yesterday, they were content with us about this. They worship on the seventh day, Saturday. So why are we gathered here on the first day of the week? Well, of course, we're here to celebrate the day of resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. For Christ's resurrection has changed everything. But of course, we also have to remember that every day is holy. Every day is God given to us as a special present. We may pray with the psalmist. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For every day is a day of worship, but only one day has been set aside for rest. And on this special day, we are to slow down, have a quieter life, and focus on God and family. For this time of rest is God's good idea. So why did God invent rest? I remember our children when they were very young, resisting bedtime, especially in the light evenings of summer. They didn't think they needed rest. I remember my grandfather taking a doze in the afternoon, and thinking, what a waste of time. And today I don't doze, but I may invest in a power nap. For God knows that we do need this rest and has promised to provide it. By resting, we are saying to God, you're in control, and I'm not. I remember Helen Roosevelt had to remind herself every time she achieved a major success in her mission to the Congo that it wasn't her work, but the Lord's work. And she reminded herself, you are God, and I am not. We need to remind ourselves that we are the Lord's servant, and he is our Lord. And yet still many of us are restless, preoccupied with projects and to-do lists, concerned with health, finance, our children, our friends, our future. Restless because we do not readily accept God's given rest. And now to the second part in verses 3 and 5, God's people in the desert. For the Israelites had seen God's power in the plagues in Egypt, and eventually in the Passover, their escape through the separation of the Red Sea, and yet they grumbled. They had no water. They had no bread. They had no meat. They whinged. They knew of God. They knew he existed. But they didn't have faith in his power to fulfill his promise, to take them to the promised land. Now, the Israelites weren't short of religious activity. They're good at it. Or good deeds, fairly good. But that alone wasn't sufficient. They were short of faith, short of trust in the God who had called them. And this came to a culmination when they approached the promised land and Moses sent 12 men out to spy on the land, and the 12 came back with mixed reports. 10 were alarmed. There were giants in the land and felt defeated. And only Joshua and Caleb reported that these people were, they're so large, it'd be hard to miss them. And that with God supporting them, they would succeed. And the people on hearing these reports were alarmed. So afraid, they preferred to go back to Egypt and to slavery rather than trust God. And so God refused these doubters entry into the promised land and turned a journey of 11 days into an exodus of 40 years. And so God said, so I declared on my oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And those hard-hearted, faithless people died in the wilderness, never entering God's rest. What a disaster to be denied a future, not entering the promised land, nor an eternal future in God's presence. For the presence of the Lord was very vivid to Moses. It gave authority to Moses and confidence to those traveling with him. We read in Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, Moses asked, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And let us pray that this is also true for our own pilgrimage, that God's presence will go with us and he also will give us rest. And so to the third part, remember the four, to the third part. Let us fast forward to today. For this is what is important to us today. And it's not just the Sabbath rest we're talking about here, but the eventual Sabbath rest of our lives, of our souls. Now, there's still a need for us to take time out, to separate ourselves from daily pressures, to make time to find ourselves, and perhaps even more importantly, time to be found by God, to seek the wholeness that God offers us in his shalom, and reflect on who we are and where we are. But today is more than this. Today we are called to listen to God. We will shortly sing the song, Be Still. And this isn't a word of comfort to us, but a command that we don't become hard-hearted. A command that we let the presence of God invade our lives today. For today is the day for each of us to believe what God has promised. Today is the day for each of us to accept the free gift that God offers. Today is the day for each of us to surrender our burdens and accept God's gift of rest. And today is the day to stop being self-reliant and become more God-reliant. For the promise of entering God's rest still stands, verse 1. And we are warned to be careful that none of us falls short of it. For the rest that God offers has been available from the creation. The rest that Adam and Eve felt as they intimately shared life with God. The intimacy that Jesus has restored to us through his death and his resurrection. And we are members of his kingdom, verse 3. We who have believed enter that rest. But we must be aware of falling into the same trap of the Israelites in the desert, of knowing that God exists, but not trusting his power to support us, of hearing the good news, but not combining it with faith, trust, verse 2, not placing our whole weight, basing our whole life on God's promises. Let us be careful not to have fallen short of that promise. So how could we possibly become hard-hearted? We who have joyfully received the good news of salvation by grace. How can we gradually succumb to some form of arteriosclerosis, some thickness of the heart, that our hearts are hardened as we fail to trust God and become disobedient? Verse 6. For it is so easy for our faith in God to be eroded. Not because the seed fell on stony ground, but because it grows among thorns. The pleasures and distractions around us could slowly and almost imperceptibly squeeze God out of one small part of our lives. When God is not Lord of every part of our lives, then God is not Lord of any of it. He doesn't take second place. And we might grow content to give God priority only at certain times and in certain places. That with the Israelites, we are content to follow religious practices, do good works, but not trust God in every part of our lives. We may be content to have giants around us, so we don't trust God to deal with them. That our hearts slowly become hardened as we drift away from his promises, as we slowly become self-reliant and lessen our faith in God. That is the importance of the message today. What a disaster that we have received this gift from Jesus, we then gradually drift away from his lordship and fail to find God's rest. This is the warning the writer to Hebrews has stressed throughout the letter. Chapter 2, we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Chapter 3, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Turn you away from the living God. And that was part of the problem this letter addresses. The Hebrew congregation drifting away from the gospel of grace. And they were in danger of straying into the wilderness rather than finding their rest in God's promised land. And so to our fourth and last part. As we move away from today and into the future. But where is our future shown in this passage? That is the promise in verse 9 of the Sabbath day of rest. Verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This is the reward at the end of our pilgrimage. The fulfillment of our roles as human beings. as we achieve our place in the created order. As St. Augustine reminds us, Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until we find our rest in Thee. As the prophet Isaiah proclaimed on the coming of Messiah, in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. We are being prepared for heaven every day of our pilgrimage. And our hope is that at the end, we'll find complete fulfillment in the rest with our Lord. Let's look at the book of Revelation, St. John. Revelation chapter 14. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. And see, the whole theme of Scripture, from early Genesis to the book of Revelation, is recovery of paradise lost, of regaining an intimate relationship with God, of being restored into his presence as a prodigal son was restored to his loving father. As we rest from our labors, where his place of rest will be glorious. And the promise declared to Moses through grace is restored to us of an intimate relationship. I know you by name, and you have found favor with me, and of continuing support. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Let us take this salvation seriously and not drift away. Let us day by day surrender our will to God and let his rest enter into us as we are prepared for this glorious rest. And therefore, verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the Israelites' example of disobedience. Amen.